I'm getting back to and finishing up a sermon series that I began last April. The sermon series was called The Journey. And the journey is man's faith plus God's will, and it's the journey. It's the walk. It's what each and every one of us are called to travel. We've got to combine our faith with God's will. Amen? You see, no part of that can be left out. It's got to be our faith along with God's will that helps us walk the journey. See, I can try to do a lot of things in my own strength and my own ways and my own thinking. And guess what? I get lost right away. Even though there are street signs that try to tell me the way to go. You know, but until I combine my faith with God's will, I truly won't be on the journey. I'll be on my journey, but I won't be on God's journey for me in my life. We're going to look at the beginner of this life of faith. And I know some of you are going to be going, wait a minute, Abraham, haven't we covered this before? To be honest, I'm old and I can't remember. And so my wife, when she asked me, she goes, haven't we done Abraham before? I go, you know, I don't know, but he's such a great subject, we're going to do him again. Because he is the father of faith. He is the one who brought it to us, who showed us what it means to have faith in God. Not faith in man, not faith in systems, faith in God. Abraham. We hear about him. This is the beginning of Abraham's call. If you'll take out your bulletin and read Genesis 12, 1 to 3. And yes, this is from the NIV. Because that's what I teach from. I don't teach from King James English because I am not King James. And I am not in the 16th century. I am of a people that speak this language today. Grow up, get past it. Stop touting the King James as like the only version out there, folks. It's not. Let's speak in a language that we speak today, please. It's the Word of God. It's not been changed in meaning. It has not been violated in any way. Instead, there have been Bible scholars who have poured out years of their understanding of theology, the different texts that the Bible has been written in. They have studied it, they've compared it, and they've come with a Bible in our language today. It's called the New American Standard or the NIV. I'll get off that soapbox now. I preach from the NIV. If that is harmful to your spirit, I apologize. But it is the Word of God. And that's what I preach here, the Word of God. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Let's read it together. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." What a challenge, right? What if God came to you today? Not that he's far away from you. He's as near as the air that you breathe. But what if God proposed to you today? I want you to just pick up your stuff and come follow after me. You're not going to have a permanent residence. Oh, you can take a tent. That's fine. You can take a tent with you, and wherever I tell you to camp it, that's where you camp it, and you follow after me. How many of you would truly want to go on that journey? Right? I mean, I'm a camper by heart, so yeah, I would love. You know, knowing that I was going to follow after God's will for me, I would do it without question. And in fact, if any of you know my history, which I know most people here, you know my history. You know I picked up from the fire department. I laid that security aside to follow what I felt was God's call for me to be in ministry. And here I am today. And this is where God has had me camped for the last 18 years. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household. Now, for Lenita, that would be kind of tough because she would have to be leaving her grandchildren, who she loves dearly. But if God called you to it, Lenita would do it in a heartbeat. Amen? Because I know Harry and Lenita have had a similar journey where they left everything that they knew and understood, and they journeyed to where God was calling them to pitch a tent. And literally, it was a tent on wheels that they camped around in. And they raised three children in a camper. And they went where God called them. God called Abraham as the father of faith to leave his country, his people, his father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. Proverbs tells us, having a good name is better than great riches. Amen. And Abraham has a great name in Christian culture because he is known as the father of faith. Amen. Every one of us who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior become children of Abraham. Why? Because we become children of faith, right? We say we have put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That is a step of faith, and we become children of Abraham's at that point. So all those, Abraham, come out of your tent. Okay, Lord, what do you want? You see all those stars up there? Yeah, wow, there sure are a lot of them, God. I love this dark sky thing you've got. I'm glad we don't have streetlights out here. Yeah, Abraham, can you count all those stars? What, are you kidding me? I have to take off my sandals to count to 20, God. What do you mean, can I count all the stars? How about the grains of sand that you're standing in? Abraham, can you count all the grains of sand? God, what is this? Is this a test of difficulty or what? You know I can't do that. Well, that's how many descendants I am going to make out of your name. We are those stars. We are those grains of sand. Abraham put his faith in God's will, and he began his journey. I have a series of three questions here. When God called you, what did you leave behind? When God called you, what did you leave behind? And please understand, every person in this room, if you are here in a church and you are here to worship God, you have been called by God. You have been called by God. That's pretty serious stuff, isn't it? The creator of this universe, the creator of everything that we know, he has called you personally, every one of you, every one of you. God has called you. We know what we're called from. Most of us could stand up here and we could tout the past life that we had before we acknowledged Christ as our Lord and Savior. And it was a life that not many of us would be proud of. Maybe a few of us would. But most of us would look back at our past before Christ and we'd go, wow, I don't want to talk about that. Instead, I'd rather give testimony to what my life has been like with Christ. Because my life's been a whole lot better example with Christ than it was without Christ. Can I get an amen in the house for that one? Anybody, you know, that amen means I agree with that statement. So that's all I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm just asking you to give an amen out to that, that your past was just as raunchy as mine. Well, maybe not. But let's not do a comparison. Instead, let's talk about what our journey's been like since God has called you. What did you leave behind? Well, I left behind a bunch of stuff that I wasn't real proud of. What has God called you to? God has called you to His kingdom. His kingdom. Maybe that's something that a lot of you don't understand, is that you have been called to God's kingdom. You have been called to serve God Almighty, every one of you. That God would personally call you into His service. That you get to that place where you say, you know what? My life is not mine. It belongs to God. Every ounce of it. Every precious minute, every second, it belongs to God. It doesn't belong to me. So when you spend that time on just yourself, you're really robbing God, aren't you? Comes down to it. You do those things that just glorify you, and it's just all about you, then you're really taking from God because you're not engaged in what God wants. But does that mean that God wants you constantly going? No. God gave us a day of rest. That day of rest He called a Sabbath. A day is unto the Lord. A day that we say, you know what? No matter what, I know I've got 6 days that are just crowded with stuff to do, but here's the seventh day, this day unto the Lord. Nothing else is going to have my attention. I'm going to honor Him in all I do. 1 day a week. Some go, what? I thought it was just an hour, Pastor. Come on. Don't be asking me to give Him a whole day. Yeah. I don't require it. God does. It's in His commands, folks. Look it up. It's in Deuteronomy. I'll give you a hint. Or it's in Exodus. Excuse me. It's in both, actually. I wasn't wrong with the first. Thank you, Bible scholars. Thank you for keeping me on my toes. What has God called you to leave behind? God has called you to leave behind your selfishness. God has called you to leave behind your selfishness, to let it go, and to be of service to His kingdom. What did God promise you if you followed Him? What did God promise you? What did He promise Abraham? I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. You think the call to us is any less than that? You see, God desires to prop you up. This is my child. of whom I am well pleased. They show everybody else around them the example that I want you to set for everyone to acknowledge me and to worship me. Follow this person's life, and you'll bring me great joy. How many of you would be feeling comfortable right now with that call? Why aren't you comfortable? Because that's exactly what you are called to. You're called to be Christians. Christians means little Jesuses in the world. You are to be imitators of Christ, Paul wrote. Each and every one of you are called to be imitators of Christ. That means when people look at me, they should see Jesus. They shouldn't see Cheryl Holloman. Instead, they should see Jesus Christ in her, in each and every one of us. Now, we are going to make Jesus look different, aren't we? Because we all have a different personality. We all have different strengths and weaknesses. However, people should see Jesus in us. Amen? And if people see Jesus in us, what will God do? He'll make you into a great nation, a great people. He will bless you. He'll make your name great. And you will be a blessing to God. God is calling you to be a kingdom people, a people involved in His kingdom. Oh, we're so involved in making little kingdoms here on this earth. Oh, if I just amass enough riches, if I get enough money in my 401k, if I just get the right house, if I get the right job, if I get the right person to love me, if I blah, 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 blah. We make our own nation going on. But it's not necessarily a holy nation. Sometimes it's an abomination. No, that was not a political statement. What did God promise you if you followed Him? He didn't promise that your life was just going to be easy anymore. In fact, if you sign up to be a kingdom person, your life will be challenged. Hello. I just want you to be aware of what it is that God's going to call you to. Because this is not going to be an easy walk. And yet, God will be with you. I promise you this. If you will put your faith in God, God will walk alongside of you every inch of the way. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you. He will strengthen you. He will guide you. He will be your counselor. He will be your guide. He will be your sustainer. He will be your comforter. He will be your Lord. But only if you let Him be. Only if you let Him be Lord will He be Lord. He will not force Himself upon you. He has given each and every one of us a will to follow. And we have to say, I will follow You, Lord, every day, every hour, every minute. Lord, I will follow You. Man, that really grinds against some of my feelings. But I will follow You, Lord, because I want to be a blessing to You, and I want to be blessed by You. God blesses obedience. He does not bless disobedience. But God does bless obedience. I know. I know. Ever since I've answered God's call, my life has been blessed by Him over and over again. I have far greater riches than I could ever imagine. Where are you keeping them, Pastor? Because I see the car you're driving. You know what? they're kept in heaven. The Bible says store up your treasures in heaven where rust can't get to it, moth won't eat it, thieves won't steal it, and it won't get lost. Store up your treasures in heaven. Do those things that will please your Father, and you will have treasures in heaven. So how has God shown his provision for you? Have any of you experienced what Suzanne and I have experienced? This has happened to me, to us, time after time after time, which has made us now be nothing but faithful tithers to God. Oh, great. The pastor's going to talk about money. You know what? Money is talked about 2,000 times in the Bible. Get over it. And what you do with it matters to God. Because everything that you've got in your pocket, don't think that you went out and earned it. Hello? God gave you that job in the first place to give you that money, but he wants you to give 10% of it to him. Done. There's no arguing about it. You give God his 10%, he gives you the 90% to do with it, whatever you want. All of it is his. All of it he deserves. My wife and I, when we came back to the Lord, when I started being the spiritual leader of my home, because that's what God called me to be, is a spiritual leader. Men, you are the spiritual leaders of your home. That's what you're called to do. You're called to lead your families in the knowledge of God. You're called to teach them how to love God with everything that they are. When I became the spiritual leader of my home again, God reestablished that within my heart. And I said, Lord, I put my faith in you. I remember being at church and it was time for the offering to be taken. And Suzanne secretly, you know, takes the checkbook that she carries with her all the time and she shows me the checkbook balance. And what our tithe was at that time would take that checkbook balance down to about $5. And she looked at me like, I need direction here. And I just looked at her and I said, which basically, there's no question. We give our tithe. I know this has probably not happened to anybody else. That was very sarcastic, dripping with sarcasm. We wrote out that check. The very next day in the mail, twice that amount came in checks. I mean, because Suzanne's whispering to me, we don't have any money for groceries if we do this. We do it anyway. Some of you, according to Malachi, are cheating God. And you're going, what? I'm cheating God? Yeah, you're cheating God of the opportunity to bless you. That's what you're cheating God of. God doesn't need your money. He just wants to see your obedience in it. He just wants to see if you'll obey him, even to the point of giving to him. Does God need your money? No. Can Mountain Valley use it? Yes. Because we know we've got this, you know, rich, you know, pastor that, you know, man, he got to have his stuff. No. You're not giving his on to me. You're giving his on to the Lord. Just as you do as on to the Lord. So if you're called to do something in service and then you don't do it, you're not only disappointing men, you're disappointing God. You know, here, these are my talents, Lord. How can they be used in your kingdom? Bill Anderson is a man in our congregation. He's not a man of great means, but he faithfully shows up here every Sunday. And I've recently had a conversation with Bill and asked him, you know, Bill, Shirley and I have been cleaning up this church for a long time. In fact, most of that falls on Shirley. Your secretary and your pastor have been relegated to cleaning the church, God's home. Why? Why? Because you who have gifts are not offering them up to the church. You're not offering them up to God's kingdom, to serve God, and even small ways. Bill Anderson, he's a big man in my eyes right now because he has said, Pastor, I will clean the church. And so I said, Bill, would you be in charge of doing that? And he says, I'd be happy to serve God in that way. We have a ministries opportunity board that we're working on that we want to put out here so that you all can see the different areas that we need help in. You want to wear a pastor and his wife out? Keep making us do everything. Why? Because you won't give an hour or two a week to help out. Why should the burden of everything be on a pastor, on his wife, or on a secretary? Why? That's not a healthy church. That's a church that's going to drive its pastor and his wife to a grave. Charlie, Nancy, Harry, Lenita, John, Pat, they know what that church life is normally like. God will make provision for you if you'll make provision for God. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. First, we're going to read it without the things in parentheses. Then we're going to read it with the Amplified version. So everything outside the parentheses. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through God, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. So, now the Amplified version of that. The fear of the Lord, complete trust in God, is the beginning of wisdom, the start of ability to master life's challenges. And knowledge of the Holy One, information and facts, the learning of skills, is understanding, familiarity through personal experience. For through God, by His impartation and blessing, your days will be many and years will be added to your life. If you will put your faith into God's will and begin your journey, it is unlimited the opportunities that are afforded unto you. Psalm 23, and yes, it's in the NIV. I know it's not the poetic language of King James. Get over it. But look at the emphasis that I put on the different words throughout the psalm. This is a declaration unto God. Read this only if these words ring out true from your heart and in your mind. Really. Do not read these words if the Lord is not your shepherd. But if you want to make the Lord your shepherd, then read these words with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see all the things that God, the shepherd, does for you? He makes you lie down and well, I'm feeling really tired. I'm going to go take a nap now. No, God leads you to green pastures to lay down. He leads me beside still waters. Why would a sheep want to have still waters instead of rapids? Think about it. They're made out of wool. They don't float. They get three times their weight when they get wet. So fast-moving waters are not what sheep want. That's why it says, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will. This is your personal declaration. I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. You're with me, God. There's no place I can go that you won't be with me. I don't have to pray for your presence. You are constantly with me, and I thank you for that, God. You're with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Why? Because I know that you're looking out for me. You see, a rod and a staff are used to correct the sheep that are wandering around and are possibly lost or might be going over to a cliff. Your rod will keep me from that cliff that I'm going to dive off into. And not just me, but Herbert the sheep that's right behind me, because sheep are dumb. They don't get, hey, what happened to that one? Well, let me go see. The shepherd's rod and staff, they comfort you. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Those who will taunt you, those who will make fun of you because you are walking a Christian life, guess what? God's going to make a table that will be a blessing to you in the presence of your enemies. He anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows. I will never be in want. Your mercy, your goodness, they'll follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise. Thank you, David, for writing such a psalm that we can all stand on the truth of it today. Loving Heavenly Father, you have a journey for each and every person in this room. Is to be a kingdom people. Worship team, come on up, please. You call us to be a kingdom people, a people that are about advancing your kingdom. And Lord, I don't even assume to know where you want each and every person in this room to serve you. You have those plans. You have those purposes. All I know is each of us in this room are called. We're called to serve you with every day of our life. Lord, what we're called to do is call out to you, because I certainly don't have the wisdom to know what you want. I rely upon you so heavily, Father, because it's your journey. It's your journey that you desire for me to walk in. So, Lord, I submit my life to you. Jesus, I turn to you. I'm going to turn my eyes upon you and nothing about this world or nothing about what man thinks I should do for you, Lord. I want to bear my heart, my mind before you and say, what do you want me to do? How can I serve you, Father? Where? Because there's a whole world of plenty out here that needs to be done. As you told us, Jesus, the harvest, oh, is plentiful. The workers, they're few. Workers, will you step up and step into the kingdom agenda for your life?